Let us pray. Holy Spirit, transform us. Transform our hearts and our homes, the church and this world. Amen. I'm sorry, what? I couldn't hear you.
Amen.
What? I'll take off the earplugs. I use those when I'm working on with my tools and stuff. Sorry, I forgot I had them in today. Now wait a minute. That's better. I can hear y'all. I can hear the sounds around us. I tell you, even when I don't have in our earplugs, we hear what we want to hear. Don't you say anything, Tracy. I beat you to that. You hear 50% of what your spouse says. I'll let your wife know that, Brian. That's what she tells you. Nice. As we just heard in this story about Babel, we wonder, you know, who wrote that original story from Genesis? I mean, who originally told the account time after time, years after years? Who was it? The Israelites. That's right. So these Israelites actually were the ones who wrote down and told the story of Babel. Now, wait a minute. They were enemies of the Babylonians. I wonder if there might be a little bias in this account, in this telling of a story. Because, you know, whenever you retell a story about someone else, it's always exactly right. Well, maybe. We're supposed to believe from the Israelites that the Babylonians were so arrogant that they thought they could build a tower high enough to reach God, to reach heaven. But then their efforts, we hear, were so inadequate. They couldn't do that. They couldn't build a tower to reach heaven. So this lowly tower of theirs, God has to come down to them to even reach the top. The Israelites, you know, God's chosen people, they are poo-pooing the Babylonians. But wait, as Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney notes, they write, if we just ridicule the Babylonians, we miss the point that they wanted to reach God. They wanted to reach heaven. They wanted to be in contact with their God. They wanted that direct path. Now, that doesn't seem so bad that the Babylonians wanted to reach God. They built this tower trying to reach up to heaven. They also wanted direct access that they believed the Israelites had, since they were God's chosen people, after all. So maybe the Babylonians weren't that bad after all, because God still came down to them. But you know, we hear what we want to hear. We learn what we are open to learning and unlearning. I'm learning a lot lately that I have to unlearn a lot of things. It's kind of confusing. That's what learning is all about, though. It's about where spirituality is actually concerned. It's in the unlearning almost everything we've been taught. And it's a willingness to unlearn, and most importantly, to listen, as Anthony DeMello tells us. Now, there's a story that I came across, and maybe you've heard it before. And if I can put up the picture of New York City. Now, many of you have probably been to New York City, to Times Square, and in this story, there's this Native American who's in Times Square with his friend. Sorry, musicians, you can imagine Times Square, though. And these two gentlemen, this Native American and his friend, they're walking in Times Square, Manhattan, and if you've ever been there, you know how noisy it can be. I mean, I have to take my earplugs, because it's way too noisy for me. And it's during the noon lunch hour, so people are all about, cars are whizzing by, taxis are honking their horn, everything's a commotion. And suddenly, The Native American says, "I hear a cricket." Where's our cricket? There it is. "I hear a cricket in the middle of Times Square in New York City." His friend says, "What? You must be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket among all of this noise." The Native American replies to his friend, "No, I'm sure of it. I heard a cricket." "That's crazy," the other guy says. "No way." Then the Native American listens carefully for a moment and walks across the street to a big cement planter where some shrubs were kind of growing. He looked into the bushes there, he digs beneath, and he sure enough finds a cricket. His friend is just utterly amazed. Across the street in these bushes in Times Square, this Native American heard a cricket. So his friend says, "Well, that's incredible. You must have superhuman ears." "No, no, no," says the Native American. "My ears are no different than yours. It all depends on what you're listening for." And the friend says, "But that can't be. That can't be so. I could never hear a cricket in all of this noise." And the Native American says, "Yes, but it's true. It depends on what's really important to you. Here," he says, "let me show you." And he reached down into his pocket. He pulled out a few coins. We got it. Boom, there they are. And discreetly drops them on the ground, on the sidewalk. And you hear the ching, ching, ching. And then, with all the noise of the crowded streets, with all the people going by, with all the cars, they noticed that every single head of the people walking by within 20 feet turned around to find and see those coins. They wanted to make sure they weren't theirs. The Native American says, "See what I mean? It all depends on what's important to you." We hear what we want to hear, or what we don't want to hear. We block it out. And you might have noticed in our Pentecost scripture this morning that people heard sounds, the rush of the violent wind. They heard other people. They heard themselves speaking. They heard everyone declaring the mighty works of God. Yet, they didn't get it. They supposed these people that they heard talking were drunk. Now, Peter, as we know, one of my favorites, he's the one who was with Jesus, you know, and he often missed the point. He would want to be the best disciple he could, and he was constantly trying to be the best, and he just kept missing it. Today, Peter gets it. He's the one who says to them, "No, these people are not drunk. They're filled with the Holy Spirit." Peter helps them unlearn what they think they know and listen. Like our men in New York, we hear what we want to hear. We listen to validate our own beliefs and opinions. Think about which news channel you watch. Unfortunately, that's the way it is now in our society. We watch and listen to validate our own beliefs and opinions. But what might it be like if we were open? If we calmed our thoughts, our assumptions, our needing to be right, but I'm always right, Tracy, our need to be right, what if we sat intentionally and listened to the Spirit? Now, the question I get often is, how do you know when the Spirit is speaking? It's a great question because, you know, we don't have a billboard that says, "And God is telling you, Tina, to do this." If only it was that clear sometimes. I wish God would speak to me just like that, in a big sign, or send me a letter in the mail, or email, or text message. It's not always that clear. How do we know when God and the Spirit are speaking? Well, to be able to listen, we first much approach and listen to God when we are grounded. When we are grounded in love and kindness and patience. Being open to not what we want, but what God wants. It's like we say all the time in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done," not our will. Second, we must quiet ourselves so we can hear God. You can't hear the cricket if you're rushing from here to there, trying to catch the cab, trying to get to work, doing everything, making sure we have everyone satisfied. No. We got to quiet it down, quiet ourselves, quiet our mind, and then turn to God and tune in to everything else that's going on around us. And then third, we got to trust what we hear. Does it sound like something that Jesus would tell us from Scripture? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Trusting what you hear. Is it out of love? Is it something Christ would tell you? Or is it just something that you want to do, like, I want to eat that chocolate cake? You got to listen and trust. God and the Spirit speak in so many ways to us. Sometimes it's just a feeling that rushes over you, like a wonderful warm light. Sometimes it's through another person. It could be a child or an adult or a passerby. Sometimes it comes just as a thought in your own mind. And other times it's an image or through nature. God is inviting us into a deeper listening, a non-judgmental listening, a listening with curiosity and not preparing our response to somebody else. God is calling us to unlearn, to take out our earplugs, and to hear the sounds all around us. To listen to ourselves, to our inner voice, to listen to one another's, to listen to nature and God. You, my friends, already have everything you need to hear God. You do. You are worthy of God coming down upon you just like the people in Pentecost, just like the people in the Babylonians in Babel. God wants to speak to you. God wants to tell you you are beloved. God wants you to listen and hear God's voice. So let us set aside all of our assumptions. Let us stop listening for what we want to hear. And instead, listen to what God is saying. God is saying that you all are beloved. You, my friends, belong. You, my friends, are invited. So come, let us now rise in body and spirit and listen to God as we sing together, "Let Us Break Bread on Our Knees."